to give this a lot of thought, because we dealt a lot with human nature. We are humans, aren't we? And God knows that we're dust. God knows that our inclination, our natural inclination, is not toward Him. It's away from Him. And that started in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned. What did he do? What's the first thing he did? He hid himself from the presence of God. God comes calling to him. He doesn't run to God. He runs from God. And that's our natural inclination when, even as Christians, when we mess up, we have a tendency to run away from God and not run towards God, because He is our solution. Amen. So we've looked at several laws of nature that I've talked about this every week, and I want to talk about it one more time. And one of them is that says this, that things left unattended tend towards chaos. If you don't pay attention, here's the essence of it. If you don't pay attention to your spiritual life, who is responsible for your spiritual life? Am I? No, I'm not. I'm responsible to be the shepherd. I'm not responsible for your choices. You're responsible to attend to your own spiritual life. And things left unattended tend towards chaos. And we've used the illustration of a garden. If you plant a garden and you don't tend it, guess what? The weeds take it over. And if you don't attend to your spiritual life, guess what happens? The weeds of this life take it over. Think about the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, where it talks about the sower sowing the word, and about the thorns that come in and they choke the word and it doesn't produce. And those are the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. We allow the things of the world to come in and choke the things of the Word of God out in our lives. Life gets chaotic. If your life starts getting chaotic, you need to start paying attention to your spiritual life. And the best thing to do is never allow your life to become unattended. This is why we need good habits. The life of faith is a disciplined life. The life of faith is a disciplined life. I wish we could have a school of faith where we met and studied faith for a year, and you were a captive audience. But you know what? You could walk out of a school like that and not do the things that you learned in that school, and your life would go towards chaos. Christianity is not a one-time event. It's a daily, ongoing relationship with God through Jesus Christ. As I said a while ago, we baptized the young man, and a lot of people want to take the step. They want to take the step of faith, and they want to get saved, and they want to go to heaven, but they don't want to go on and take step 2, step 3, step 4, step 5. They don't want to become a disciple. They just want to be a believer. That's not acceptable with God. Why? Because He knows that if you leave your life unattended, it'll go towards chaos. The second thing that we talked about is that everything happens for a purpose. And this is the law of cause and effect, or what we call this seed time and harvest. Anything that happens in your life that's not good, you need to look at it and determine, is this an attack of the enemy, or have I sown some bad seed? And if you sow bad seed, you're going to get bad result. What we need to learn to do is to make cause and effect work for us and not against us. This was designed to work for us. But one of the things about love is that God has, even if you do bad things and you see bad things starting to happen, you can turn those things around and you can sow different seed and have a different outcome. I sowed tomatoes this year, and I didn't have a very good crop of tomatoes. I had some little bitty tomatoes. Next year, I may not sow tomatoes. I may do peppers next year. But I can change the effect. I can change the effect by changing the cause. I can change the seed and get a different harvest. So if you don't like where you are today, change the seed that you're sowing. Insanity says that we keep doing the things that we've always done and we expect a different outcome. That's insanity. If you don't like where you are, sow a different seed. Okay? So that's the cause and effect. Then this law, we've talked about the law of hysteresis. And basically the law of hysteresis says, okay, just take a rubber band. You apply the pressure. You apply a force with the rubber band. You stretch it out. What happens when you release that force? That rubber band goes back to its original shape. And we can begin to study the Word of God, and we can begin to see change in our lives, and we get real comfortable. Here's the thing that's sad about human nature. It's real sad, and it doesn't have to be this way, but a lot of times it is, that the better we do, we get complacent. We quit trusting God. You don't have to do that. But our tendency is that when we prosper, we don't look to God as much. When you're in need, you look to God. God is not just about your needs. God wants to bless your life so that you can be a blessing. But a lot of times, we get in this blessing need thing. And we rock back and forth between blessing and need. You know, when I need God, then I'm going to work it. When I feel like I don't need God, then I'm going to get lax. And when we do that, we have a tendency to go back to the way that we were. And this is the thing that we need to learn about Christianity. It's a daily process. It's learning to do something, and you learn that through discipline of doing it. Maybe you're in a school. Maybe you're in Luke 4:18 or John 3:16 or whatever it is that you're going through, or Celebrate Recovery or college, and you're learning and you're stretching and you're doing all of these things. But when you get that diploma that says, okay, I'm finished, I've graduated, you haven't really graduated, you've just begun. You can get a PhD, but that PhD won't make you any money if you don't do what you learned to do. You'll revert right back to where you were. And you're not any better off as if you had never gotten that degree. And that's the way it is with our Christian lives. When we get these habits, these good habits in our lives of studying the Word and meditating the Word and serving and walking in the Word and learning to love God, and we get say, oh yeah, I'm making some progress here. I think I'll take a day off. Then you're taking a week off. Then you're taking a month off. You quit doing the things that you do, and the tendency is to go back to what you were. That doesn't work good. We need to remember, we describe the Christian walk as a stroke upstream. All you got to do to go backwards is do nothing. Lay your Bible down. Quit going to church. Quit doing the things that you know that you're supposed to do, the things that you have learned to do. Quit being a doer of the Word and just be a hearer. Just hear, 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 but don't ever do anything. You'll go right back to where you were. And you can confess the Word, you can do lots of things, but it won't work if you don't do what you know you're supposed to do. The law of hysteresis, you go right back to where you were. And then we talked about the law of motion. That we know that if any bad thing that we got to turn around in our life is we have to intercept that motion. Because once something is in motion, it stays in motion. If it's a negative thing, it stays in motion until it's stopped by a stronger force. Now this strong force that we're talking about is the force of faith. Faith will turn any situation around in your life. See, what we want to do, it's when we have a problem, we want a quick fix. We want to come up, somebody pray over us, everything goes away, that, you know, we've sown all of these bad seeds and we get all of this bad stuff going on in our lives, and we want a quick fix. It don't always happen that way. I've seen people get miracles. I've seen people healed by the power of God. I have seen people delivered from drugs by the power of God. But you know, it don't always happen that way. And when it does happen that way, you still have to go through the process of renewing your mind if you're going to stay free. So we want a quick fix, and that's not God's way. God's way is His way, because what it does, it not only changes your situation, it changes your heart, and it changes your character. So the law of motion, that we have to intercept whatever's going on in a bad situation with the law of faith and get it going the other direction. Okay, today we're going to talk about the law of correspondence. And this says this. Write this down. Your outside world corresponds directly to your inner world. Your outside world is a reflection of your inner world. If you have insecurity in your life, it shows out here. If you have fear in your heart, it shows out here. If you're negative in your heart, it comes out your mouth. What is going on out here is a reflection of what's in here. Now, we can try to change and mask it, but you know what? Being a Christian is not about wearing a mask. You know what we call people who wear masks? In the early days, in the Greek culture, they had actors and they did plays and they wore masks. Usually the women weren't the actors, it was men. And they would play a male part, they would wear a mask, and they would wear a female mask, and they would wear a part, and they would wear a mask. And they were called hypocrites. You ever heard that word before? Hypocrite. They were the hypocrites. That was not a negative connotation. It was a positive connotation. They were the actors. They were the hypocrites. They wore the different masks. Well, when we do that in life and become hypocrite, that means we're portraying ourselves to be something that we're not really. Change is from the inside out, not from the outside in. Religion tries to change people out here. What you need to do. I had a fellow one time told one of my friends. He said, what you need to do is cut your hair and shave your mustache off and serve God. Let me tell you, I know some short-haired, clean-shaven guys that are heathens. The length of your hair has nothing to do with what's in your heart. Hair on your lip doesn't mean sin in your heart. There's an old song that religious people wrote, if there's hair on your ear, then there's sin in your heart. That's religion. Man, if that was so, a bald-headed guy would be a saint. I know some bald-headed heathens. No. Religion changes you out here. What has to happen, it has to start on the inside and it works its way to the outside. And that's a process. The Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean you decide how you get saved. No, that means that you work your personal issues out from the inside to the outside. Because when you make Jesus Lord, He changes your heart. And you have to take control and begin to change the way that you think. Most of Christianity, and I'm talking about Christianity, born-again people, has more to do with learning to think right than anything else. The mind is the key. Once the heart is changed, the mind becomes the key. So the law of correspondence says that your outside world corresponds directly to your inner world. What is without is what is within. So, all productive manifestation in your life is the result of your inner world. All productive stuff, anything that you produce eternally, has to start in here. You cannot get people right with God by telling them, ladies, you need to quit wearing pants. Ladies, you need to quit cutting your hair. Guys, you need to cut your hair. You need to do this. You need to do that. It's amazing that one thing that makes a woman right, and the opposite thing makes a guy right. I thought it was the blood of Jesus that made us right. And that's what it has to be. It's not the length of your hair. It's not any of that. It's not whether you have tattoos or don't have tattoos. That's not it. It starts in here. So all productive manifestation of your life is the result of your inner world. Okay, I want to talk about three things. The result of getting your heart right. When I'm talking about your heart, I'm talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. We usually have trouble with one, two, or three of those. Some of you have a very stubborn personality. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking about you. Yeah. Stubborn. Some of you struggle with your emotions. Oh, guys, look at your wife. No. Some people struggle emotionally. They're ruled by their emotions. And then there is, some folks have a problem with their thinking, their head. Their head gets in their way. All of us struggle with one or more of those issues in our life. Every one of us, without exception, struggle because of the fall of man. We struggle with that. We struggle with the sin principle. The power of sin has been broken through the blood of Jesus. But we still struggle with the sin principle. We still struggle with the flesh. And it's very natural and very easy for us to go with the flesh sometimes. And what we have to learn to do is to go with our born-again spirits. But that takes time to learn how to do that. So we have to come into this area of three different things. And one of those is a renewed mind. Now the scripture we're going to use today is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren. I've got it here. Here's a different translation of that. Listen to this. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So here's one thing that religion does. If we're not careful, we have our Sunday life and our Wednesday night life, and then we have our secular life. Our Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday life. Now, and that's not what God wants. Okay? This says, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. That pretty well describes everything that we do. We eat, we sleep, we go to work, we walk around, we enter. That's what God wants. That's the part of your life that He wants, which includes all of it. He doesn't just want your attention on Sunday and Wednesday or whenever it is that you come, once a month, twice a month, however it is. That's not the attention He wants. He wants the whole thing. He wants you to offer Him the whole thing. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Now, the King James says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies unto God, a holy sacrifice. He said, this is your reasonable service. But it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're going to talk about the renewed mind. And there's three parts of that has to do with the renewing of the mind. The first one is don't be conformed. Don't be conformed. This is our challenge. Not to be shaped by the world out there. We need to be shaped by the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Many times we form our opinions of life by the things that are out there, when what God wants to do is for us to reform our opinions by the things that are in here and the things that are in this book. Yes, you got to get in the book. Do we say that enough? You've got to get in the book. You got to get the book in you. It doesn't do any good having this dusty laying on your nightstand. Had a fellow one time testifying. Said, "Oh, I was in my bed one night and said this evil presence comes into my room, and I thought if I could just grab my Bible, and I grabbed my Bible and I just hugged it up, and that evil presence went away." Baloney. There's no magic in this paper. The magic, and it's not magic, the transforming power has to do with what's in your heart that comes through reading and hearing this book. So we cannot be conformed to the world. We can't be influenced by what's out there. We have to be influenced by what's in there. But we have to be transformed. And there's only one way to transform yourself, and that's with the book. That's with the book. You need to fall in love with the book. Amen? You got to fall in love with the book. You got to be a person of the book. You don't have to read it all every day. Just take a chapter. Read it. Meditate on it. Pray, "God, what are you trying to speak to me?" When something jumps out at you, duh, that's the Holy Spirit trying to teach you something, trying to change the way that you see things and look at things. But be transformed. And then the third thing is the renewing of the mind. That's the metamorphosis that takes place over time. We can't lay hands on you and renew your mind. You didn't get to be a stinking thinker overnight. You're not going to be a renewed thinker overnight. It's a lifetime process. So that sounds like work. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's good work, though, isn't it? The second thing that we need to talk about, the first one is a renewed mind. The second one is an established heart. If you're going to produce anything of value in this life through faith, it's going to come through a renewed mind. People with unrenewed minds struggle with faith. The second thing is an established heart. Psalms 42 says this, "He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps." God wants to establish your steps. He wants you to have an established heart. This takes time. Not just time, but it takes time in the Word. It takes time in fellowship with God. It takes time in fellowship with other believers. This whole mission of what the church is about, reach up, reach in, reach out, reaching up to God in worship, reaching in discipleship and fellowship, reaching out to other people. These are the things that causes your life to become established. There is no magic to it. There's nothing that is glamorous about it, but it is very fulfilling and very rewarding. Are you listening to me today? Proverbs 4:20. It all comes out of this. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. My words, they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Life comes out of your heart. It comes out of your inside, out of your inner man. Therefore, you better guard your heart. Guard what you allow to go in through the eye gates and the ear gates. "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." Will that affect your faith? Absolutely. "Let your eyes look straight ahead." Mind your own cotton-picking business. Some people can't grow because they're always in everybody else's business. Sometimes you just need to look straight ahead and don't be concerned about what's going on with other people. Your eyelids look right before you. "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established." Let all your ways be established. All of that goes into the established ways. Amen. "Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." You ought to take those seven verses and meditate on those for about a month. That would help you a whole lot with your walk with God. Wow. Okay. One more. If you're going to produce anything of a lasting effect in your life, it has to be a renewed mind, an established heart, number three, a transformed personal belief system. There's two things that make this up. Number one is the principles by which you order your life. If you are a reactor, if you spend your whole life reacting to circumstances, you're not going to grow. You have to be proactive. How do you become proactive? You have principles that govern your life. I'm committed to giving. I never think about not giving. The economy, I mean, my 501, no, my 403B during the economy, it just shot. It's coming back now. In fact, I had to quit taking it because the finances of the church shot. I mean, my 403B was shot. I could have thought, well, you know what? I could make this up if I would just cut my giving back into the church, into the kingdom, into other places. If I would just cut my giving back. No, no. I have a principle that drives my life, and it's given, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I have never considered not being a giver. It is a principle. It is an established principle in my life. You have to choose the principles that you live by. And you become a person of principle, not one of circumstance. I read the story of a guy. He was giving 20% of his income to the Lord. He had to take a cutback in his job. And he had to make a decision on what to do. It would have been all right for him to cut back his giving to 10%. But you know what he did? He increased it to 30%. You know what God did? Guess what God did? He blessed him. And he had more than enough. And he wound up better off than he was before because he was driven by his principle and not by his circumstance. So we need to become, and I just use giving as one of the principles. There's lots of principles that we have to set in our lives. You choose the principles that govern your life. Do your principles affect your faith? Yes. Your principles are your faith. Your principles are your faith. When I sin, I do not run from God. I run to God. Why? Because I know that He's a forgiving God. Righteousness is a principle that is established in my life, and I live by that principle. Because I know, and I know you know, I'm not perfect. Don't say amen. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. But God demands perfection. But I'm not perfect. So therefore, I have to run to God a whole lot and say, Lord, guess what? Here I am again. I missed it. Forgive me. I live by that principle. But I see so many people, when they miss it, the first thing they do is the same thing that Adam and Eve do. They ran away from God. The second part of the personal belief system is not only principles, it's your character. And this is where we're going to end at. Your character. Your character is important. I believe your character comes out of your principles. And remember we said this, what is your character? That is the attributes of your personality that have developed through your relationship with God. You applying the Word of God to your life, and you live by your character. Do you ever get a chance to cheat? Will your character allow you to cheat? Maybe somebody gives you too much change back, and you think, oh, blessing from God. Huh. We see a little character test going on here. Am I going to live by my character, or am I going to spiritualize it and make it a blessing of God? I believe character needs to be the driving force. I'm going to end with this statement. I've said it over and over again, that our potential is released through our character, not through our knowledge. Your character can limit your faith. Your lack of character can limit your faith, but your walking in character and integrity raises your faith to a different level, and you can operate in the faith of God. So it's a circle of how faith is is formed in our life. It starts with a gift. It starts with a gift. But it's an ongoing circle that gets bigger and bigger and bigger as we walk with God. Let's bow our heads. Thank you today, Father, for your word. Thank you for clarity. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to our hearts today about our faith life. Help us to take our spiritual life as something that is serious. Help us to judge ourselves and examine ourselves. Help us to have a desire to be in a growing situation. Help us to know that we don't just grow by listening to sermons, but we grow by becoming doers of your word. We thank you for this today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you haven't taken the step that the young man that we baptized this morning has taken. You haven't invited Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart. You don't have a relationship with Him. This is where spiritual life begins. It's with a step of faith, making Jesus Lord. It begins there. It has to begin there. It's the only way that it works. If you're here today and you don't have that relationship, I'm going to pray a prayer in just a minute. We're all going to pray it together. We don't make people get up out of their seats and come to the front. We don't embarrass people. We don't make you do anything that you don't want to do because we can't make you do that anyway. But if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, you haven't invited Jesus into your heart, but you would like to do that today, slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I need for you to include me in that prayer today. I want to pray that prayer and make Jesus Lord today. Is there anybody here? Anybody here before we close this service? All right. Praise God. Let's stand together. As you go forth from this place today, put your hand on your heart. May God bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His countenance to rise upon you. And may He give you peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you.